Before we study God's Word together, we need to first handle just a little bit of fellowship business. After our COVID-19 delays, and I think some of that might have had a little bit to do with the Hilldocks new delivery there, but we had some delays. We couldn't quite get all our board meetings together. We were finally able to get our second board meeting in and complete our 2024 anchored budget at least a good month later than what we normally would. Are those budgets available yet? Okay, so probably next week. Yep, next week, be looking for those on the back table. If you'd like to see our budget for the year, you can take one, keep that, look that over, and holler at us for anything you don't like. That budget, it's going to be interesting to see where this year takes us, because there are a few big things that have come from our 2024 meetings this year, and I want to share some of those things with you. If you're a family member to one of the Board of Elders, you may already know these things, and that's fine. We don't ask our Board of Elders to keep secrets, but we've been kind of working on this without speaking about it openly in the fellowship, just because we weren't sure how the Lord would lead us and how things would turn out. But the first thing that I want to share with you is that after much prayer and discussion, we have decided to take a pretty big step of faith for this fellowship. One of our greatest issues here with this facility and this property is parking. Have you ever noticed that? I think you might have noticed that. That's a problem. Maybe not so much on a morning like this, but when everyone's healthy, no one's sick, and we're all here, and we're pushing 70 and 80 people, well, that parking lot gets a little cramped. Did you know there's only 26 official parking spots out there? When I counted up our spots, I've been scratching my head for months now, trying to figure out how we get 70 and 80 people in here with only 26 official pavement parking spots. Are you guys carpooling or something? Is there a bus that's running between the Ollie's parking lot in here? I don't know how it's happening. Somehow we've been able to do that, but I understand it is an inconvenience. I would even go so far as to say it has probably prevented some people who have visited us from reattending. That's not too far-fetched as you might think. You may not be that kind of person, but there are plenty of people that if they show up for the first time, and it's like trying to get a parking spot is like fighting a war out there, that could persuade many people not to return. Parking is an issue. Our dining hall is smaller than our needs, and Rachel Fremd has informed me that I've got until August to provide a space big enough for 100 people, parking and dining hall, for something big that's coming up in August. I don't know, that cat's out of the bag, right? Yeah, that was on Facebook, so it's official. Dining hall, parking, storage space, classrooms, these are all issues. The sanctuary, no problem. We can get 125 people in this sanctuary, probably more if we brought some chairs from downstairs. And some of you folks didn't mind sitting on aluminum, but yeah, it's a problem. And when you look at our land here, you can see why we're stumped. We can turn the lower two lots, you know, we have that fancy step down in our land, and we can turn those lower two land lots into parking. But if we do that, we're going to buy ourselves maybe, I tried to calculate this up, about 20 more spaces. So that's still 46 spaces for the amount of people that we're getting in here and hoping to get in here in the future. That leaves us no room for growth. And I think it probably discourages our growth from time to time. So what do you do? Well, we can build a 3-tier parking garage out of beam steel. Doesn't seem very realistic. underground parking, tunnel down under there. They've already got mines under us from over here, so maybe. Now, we're thinking the best solution is to offer this place up on the market, see if we get any interest in it, see if we get the kind of price that we are hoping for, and then begin to look around in the area to see if there's something that might better suit our needs. Really, all we need is a good flat spot. It could actually be less land than what we have right now. But if it's flat, we can use it all. We can make everything outside of the building a parking space. So we're hoping that we can find something like that in Uniontown. We are testing the waters right now. That was the board decision. I think that is just to be the board's decision. But I do want you to know, if we get an offer and we have a plan, a place to go to, if we take the offer, I'm going to bring that before you all as Anchored Fellowship members. That's going to be ultimately your decision on whether we make a final move or not. Having said that, before we get to that, whether that happens or not, be patient with us on mornings where we're crowded in parking and in situations where we are crowded in the dining hall. Number two, the second thing I want to share with you is that after, again, much prayer and discussion, we have decided to pursue an association with Calvary Chapel. Does anyone here know what Calvary Chapel is? Is anyone familiar with that? You guys, all right. Yeah, we got some folks. We've had some folks come here because maybe they didn't know it until now, but they suspected that we were a Calvary Chapel. Is that right? Because we do what Calvary Chapels do. If you're not familiar with Calvary Chapel, that movement started under Chuck Smith from Costa Mesa, California. If you haven't heard of him, I don't know where you have been. He was all over the radio for many years. He died a handful of years ago. He passed on, but he was a very large part in the Jesus movement back, you know, when the hippies were getting saved. Yeah, Chuck Smith was instrumental in that. That one guy, Chuck Smith, God used him to bring about a revolution, a spiritual revolution in this country and even in the world. And his whole motto for ministry is this: simply teaching the Bible simply. In other words, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to change the world for Christ. We're going to teach through the Bible, all of it. And we're going to do it simply. We're going to do it in a way where we can actually explain what everything means so that our people know the Word of God and then can thereby experience the benefits of having all of that Bible knowledge in a healthy belief system. One thing you should know about association with Calvary Chapel is that Calvary Chapel is not a denomination. Hundreds and hundreds of churches across the world, but they are not a denomination. You might want to challenge me on that, but I would challenge you right back to look into it. They are not a denomination. They are a fellowship of churches. These are churches that mutually agree to be like-minded, to have the same missions, to teach the same things. And it is all based on the pastors and the pastor's knowledge and his honesty about whether or not he agrees with the foundational teachings of Chuck Smith and the Calvary Chapel pastors around the world. This is not a group that we join and then they take our money and build headquarters buildings to rule over us. That's not how this works. This is a fellowship of churches where the pastors say, you know what, I was mentored by Chuck Smith and Skip Heitzik and Jack Abelin and some of these other well-known, Greg Laurie, some of these other well-known Calvary Chapel pastors. I've learned the Bible from them. I largely agree with them. So I'm a Calvary Chapel guy. I want our church to be a Calvary Chapel church, and that's how it happens, and that's the full extent of it. So I don't know if you knew this about me, but I am a Calvary Chapel guy. I've been a Calvary Chapel guy since 2003. In 2003, I don't know that we're going to get to the message today, but in 2003, I was living in the York, Pennsylvania area, and I had a job where I was driving tractor trailer for 8 hours a day. And I found a radio station called CSN, Calvary Satellite Network. That's a Calvary Chapel radio station. The radio station plays almost no music. It's all Bible teaching. You get the one Calvary Chapel pastor, and he's teaching through Job. And then you get the next one, and he's teaching through Genesis. And you get the next one, and he's teaching through John. And that's all it is all day. So I spent 8 hours a day listening to Bible studies from Calvary Chapel guys. And that was back when, you know, if you didn't know me at the time, my beliefs were very cult-like. I mean, I had cult-like beliefs. I did not have a healthy belief system. And the Lord used that station in Calvary Chapel to just absolutely revolutionize my belief system and my approach to ministry. No longer did I want to get up on the stage and pick a topic that might be fun and might draw a crowd and give you a 25-minute pep talk about that topic. No longer did I want to do that. I wanted to teach through the Bible every word of it and teach my congregation every word of it. So it was a long transformation, period of a decade passed, and I was learning from very trusted Calvary Chapel pastors and studying church planting and things like that. And then in Alaska, became very involved in Calvary Chapel churches. Also spent some time attending Calvary Chapels here in Pennsylvania before I moved to Alaska. Calvary Chapel Westmoreland, Pastor Clark Laufer. I consider him a really good friend. He barely knows me, but I went to his church for a while, and it was a long time ago. Pastor John Thomas from Calvary Chapel Brownsville. Again, I consider him a good friend because I attended his church for a while. He barely knows me, but then I moved to Alaska and began to work in Calvary Chapel movements. A young guy from Kent, Washington had come up further north and west to Alaska. He felt the Lord calling him to pastor a church. He was completely inexperienced. He had never done that sort of thing before. I don't think he had even taught a Bible study before he came up there and tried to plant a church. And I, at the time, was an experienced pastor, so I helped him. I helped him plant the Calvary Chapel there in South Anchorage, and it grew and became a healthy church for a while until he moved away. I was relocated at a point to Juneau, Alaska, where I spent a good bit of time, 3 years in ministry in Juneau, Alaska, a church called Calvary Fellowship, which is a Calvary Chapel associate. So yes, if you didn't pick up on it, we do not have to change our name. We can keep Anchored Fellowship if we want and be Anchored Fellowship and associate of Calvary Chapel. Or it could be Calvary Chapel Uniontown. So I think we like, aren't we attached to Anchored though? We're attached to that. So Calvary Fellowship, Juneau. I worked with Pastor Brian Ewing there, a wonderful man of God in my opinion. I spent a lot of time on the worship team there and eventually started teaching for them. I taught a lot of their Thursday night Bible studies, and then began to be considered more of an assistant to Pastor Brian. It was never official, but you know, if he would go away for something, I would be the guy that stepped in for him on a Sunday. So a lot of ministry time spent in Calvary Chapel. And when I planted this church, I didn't really have any intentions for affiliations or associations. I'm fine. I'm completely fine with being non-denominational and independent. I definitely don't like denominations because denominations, they try to achieve unity through rules, through commitments that you agree with them. Even if you study and you feel otherwise, you're sort of bound to that in denominational structures. Calvary Chapel associations do not work that way. There's nothing we have to change to be considered a Calvary Chapel. I mean, some of you people are going to have to get a little bit better at... No. There's nothing that we have to change. There are times where I disagree with some of the Calvary Chapel pastors in my teachings, and I teach it the way that the Lord has revealed it to me, the way that it is very plain to me in the Scriptures. But not a one of them is going to come down here and drag me out of the church and replace me or ask us to withdraw our association. This is just about attaining unity through intense study of the Word of God. That's how the Calvary Chapel Fellowship of Churches attain their unity among fellowships. And I'm telling you, in all of the denominations that I have studied over the course of my 30 plus years as a minister for the gospel of Christ, I've never found an organization that has the same kind of unity that Calvary Chapels do. And it's not demanded. It's not required. It's just, hey, I've come up under the tutelage of Calvary Chapel. Man, I love the teaching. They're the finest Bible teachers in the world. And that's what I am. I'm a Calvary Chapel person. So there are lots of benefits to association. Number one, that would put us on the Calvary Chapel map. And so their list of churches online, our name would ultimately be on that list. And so that when there are people traveling that are looking for a Calvary Chapel to attend, if they're in Uniontown, they're going to go to the directory, they're going to look that up, and they're going to go, whoa, look at that. Anchored Fellowship is a Calvary Chapel. Would have never guessed that. And they're going to attend here. I know that because I did that a lot over the years. I've visited many Calvary Chapels. I made use of that church directory. And on top of that, when you got people living in the area that get exposed to Calvary Chapel teaching and discover the same thing that I did, that there are no finer Bible teachers in the world than what is found inside the Calvary Chapel movement, well, then they're going to want a Calvary Chapel as close to them as possible. That could be us. That also gives us a connection with other Christians. It's great being independent and non-denominational because we don't have anyone to answer to outside of this church, but that can feel a little lonely at times, and there's always the danger, depending on your pastor, there's always the danger that you can really go off on the deep end because you're not accountable to anyone. In the situation with an association with Calvary Chapel, we now have some accountability in the sense that if I am going off the deep end, the Calvary Chapel pastors that are around me are going to say, Arlen, what happened to you? Are you sure that's what you want to be teaching? So there's some accountability there. There's fellowship. We get to connect with the Calvary Chapels in our area, and we get access to Calvary Chapel functions. For example, I am scheduled, registered, and that registration is paid for me to attend the pastor's conference for the region, the Northeast region of Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia this year in May. It's already paid, so don't try to talk me out of it. I'm going. And then on top of that, any events that they have, conferences, meetings, you guys are going to get access to that as well. So it's opening ourselves up to a community. It's giving ourselves more exposure to the public, to the community. And it's giving us some accountability that we want, not domineering accountability, but people that we can reach out to for advice, for counsel, for help. Pastor John Thomas, sitting down there in Brownsville, 11 miles away from us, well, he's sitting on a handful of pastors that aren't full-time pastors. They're guys that can get up and teach the Bible, and they do fill-in work in Brownsville. And, man, those are resources that we can make use of here in this fellowship. So I'm excited about that. Me and the board have prayed about that. They feel really good about that. And we are in that process. I'm setting up meetings with Pastor Clark Laufer and Pastor John Thomas, and we'll kind of be hashing out what that process looks like over time. And I'll be updating you as I go. And probably before we make that ultimate commitment, I might throw it out to a vote and just see how you guys feel. But before you do, before you throw your hand up and say, nay, I don't want to do that, look into the Calvary Chapel movement. Look into a book called Calvary Chapel Distinctives by Pastor Chuck Smith. There he lays out everything that makes a Calvary Chapel unique. That's the kind of thing that, like, you know, if you're going to be a Calvary Chapel, here's what you're probably going to look like for the most part. And you'll notice as you read through that, that's Anchored Fellowship. All right, so be praying about that. Be researching that if you'd like. If you want to have a say in that, that's fine. Last of all, I got one more announcement. Oh, Lord, help me. It is time that we start talking about our 2024 Lancaster trip to Sight and Sound Theater. The date, did we set a date on this? I thought we did.
End of May. Okay.
End of May. Roughly end of May right now. Daniel is playing this year, and it is a new production, so no one can say, oh, I already saw it. I'm not going. It's a new production, brand new production, and we would like to test the waters here by asking you about your interest. We want to gauge your interest in that. So if you are interested in going to Lancaster at the end of May to overnight and to watch the Sight and Sound production of Daniel with us, would you please let us know by raising your hand? Now, this is not a commitment. You're not saying, I'm definitely going. You're saying, I want to go, and I think I'm going to be able to make it, and I'll do what I can to arrange my schedule. Maggie, would you just get a look? Just look around at the hands and just get an idea here. All right. We're going to need an airplane. Forget the bus. Get an airplane, Maggie. All right, good. That gives us an idea of what to plan for. You got a rough number? Okay. So we're going to be working on preparations for that lodging, which is probably going to be tense, I think, now with that many people. Lodging, transportation, and tickets. We'll get back to you on that when we have a date, and we'll have a signer sheet back there so that you can sign your name and say, okay, I'm in, I'm going. All right, with that said, and with that done,